God, everyone did so well this morning. It's wonderful to see everyone greeting and loving on everybody. Praise God. We're still a family, even when the snow is out there. You know, over the last several years, you know, we've kind of started to have some easy winters, you know, but growing up, how many of you remember this was just winter every year, right? It's just pretty normal. We appreciate you being here. Of course, at any given time, if there's ever, you know, weather, if you feel uncomfortable or you feel like, you know, you shouldn't make the drive or something, please know, you know, feel free to make that decision without any judgment from us. Amen. Praise the Lord. We know that we've got a few inches this morning. We know later on it's supposed to get worse, but that's why we're here for the hour of power today, right? And so we'll get you going. Praise God. We just welcome anybody who's here for the first time. Praise God. Maybe we have some folks that are here for their second or third time. We're just so honored to have you here at Family Church. We're just honored that you could be with us. Praise the Lord. We want you to find our church a warm and welcoming place. Glory to God. And so we just are so glad to have you. Hey, don't forget, we have the gray welcome cards in the seat pocket in front of you. If you fill that out, please know that we don't sell that information or give it out to anybody. We're going to be doing something a little different. We're going to be taking up our offering at the end of service today. Actually, our ushers are going to be at the doors to receive the offering as you leave. And so we're not sending ushers up to you, but as we dismiss, we can put our offering in there as we go on out. And if you're filling out a gray card, a prayer request, put that in the offering bucket as well at the end of service. Hey, if you haven't signed up for the text communication, it's a good idea to do that, because that's a great way that the church can communicate. If there was ever any weather issues or cancellations, that's how we're going to notify you. Praise the Lord. And so again, if you're visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. We're just so honored to have you. And what we're going to do right at this moment, we're going to do a combined hand clap, right? What we're going to do is we're going to welcome our first time guests. And also, if you have children heading over to our KA and LA ministries, we're going to dismiss them right now as well. So let's welcome those and dismiss our children. Here they come. Wow, it's still a good troop. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. It's so good to see so many kids. I'll tell you what, some Sunday mornings, it's the stampede up here. I mean, it's great. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? We're not going to be doing any announcements. We're just going to jump right in, and we'll make sure to get you out by 2, 3 p.m. at the latest. Praise the Lord. I've already been contacted by several others that have told me that if they were betting individuals, if they were gamblers, they would definitely bet the over on the 11:30, all right? We'll just see. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word here today? Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Matthew chapter 26. Today, I'm going to call this message, Getting to Know the Depths of Your Spirit. Getting to know the depths of your spirit. And of course, we can only do so with the help of the Holy Spirit. But we need to remember that we are a spirit being first. And over the last several weeks, I've been concentrating on the ability to hear God's voice and to recognize God's voice in our life. And we started by saying this: we must be spirit conscious, or aware of our own spirit. A lot of times people talk about the Holy Spirit, but they don't understand that the Holy Spirit communicates with our spirit. And if you think that God's just talking to your mind, you're not going to hear His voice. If you think that God's just trying to talk to your body, you're not going to hear His voice. The Bible says this over in Proverbs 20:27. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of our being. Or the King James says, searching the inward parts of our belly. Or again, the center of our being, right here in the middle. Amen. God is talking to us down there. The Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says, what man will know the things of a man, meaning the things that God has for their life, except they receive it by the spirit of man, right? And so we're going to have to listen to the voice of God in our spirit. Praise the Lord. And we saw this, that our spirit has a voice in the form of our conscience. And the Bible says many go shipwreck because they don't listen to their conscience. The Bible says over there that God's voice will come to us by the way of peace or not having peace. Colossians 3:15 in the Amplified, it says, let peace, like an umpire, right, make the call. Or literally, let peace rule in your heart. An umpire is someone that tells you when you're safe and when you're out. And so we need to be listening. We should not violate peace when it comes to hearing God's voice. We don't want to violate the word. We don't want to violate our conscience. Stop listening up here in your mind. Start listening for God in your spirit. Praise the Lord. And so we've been talking about this. And last week I gave you some homework over there in Matthew chapter 26. And so today we're going right to that homework. Are you ready? Go to Matthew 26, 36. And today we're going to start with the lesson of the spirit, soul, and body. The lesson of the spirit, soul, and body. Jesus is our example. He shows us exactly what to do. And let's just start with this question here today. What do you do when your spirit, soul, and body, when they don't agree? When they don't agree. Have you ever learned that your spirit and your soul and your body don't always want to do the same things? They don't agree. They have different ideas. Jesus went through this exact same thing. We're going to start here in Matthew 26, and then we're going to take a little walk, if we have time, through the New Testament to start showing the depths or the capability of our own spirit, of course, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go over to Matthew 26, and we're going to start in verse 36. This is the night before Jesus's crucifixion, and we know that he had a lot of pressure on him. Isn't that true? Amen. You know, he was about to carry all the sins of the world and more than just the sins of the world. The Bible says that he also carried our sickness and disease. The Bible says that he also carried our griefs and our sorrows. You know, Jesus was providing redemption for man. Amen. And of course, the night before, he's going through a lot of pressure or depression, anxiety, and sadness. And if you're here today and you've ever been through a bout of depression, anxiety, or sadness, well, Jesus has been there too. And he shows us exactly how to overcome those things. Amen. Praise God. Go to Matthew 26. We're going to read verses 36 down through 41. I'm reading in the King James. I might just take a little bit of the old Elizabethan English out of it as I read it, just so it makes more sense. But this is the night before Christ's crucifixion. And it says, then Jesus came with his disciples unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto them, sit here while I go and pray yonder. So you didn't realize that Jesus was from Middle Tennessee. Right? He's going over there to pray yonder, I reckon. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus is going to pray. He's going to invite three of his disciples to go with him. In verse 37, it says, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Who were the sons of Zebedee? John and James, also known as the sons of thunder. Praise the Lord. That'd be, you know, maybe I need to start calling my sons that, the sons of thunder, you know? Praise the Lord. I'm kidding. So you're like, is he serious? No, not serious at all. Praise the Lord. So he takes these three disciples with him. And in verse 38, Jesus begins to speak. Jesus said to them, Peter, John, and James, he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Wait here and watch with me. The word watch means to pray. He said, hey, pray with me. Let's seek the Father together. Let's handle this. And you're going to see exactly why Jesus needed to pray in fellowship with the Father. Of course, the disciples aren't going to be much help at all because they fall asleep here in a moment. But notice in this verse, this is what we're focusing on. Jesus said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. In our modern English, if you have the Amplified or the New American Standard, it uses words such as sadness. It uses words like grieved. It uses words like depressed. He's saying, I am so depressed, I feel like I could die. Isn't it very interesting that Jesus's mind is telling him he's going to die right then and there? It wasn't the plan of God. He wasn't going to die in that garden. You know, it wasn't God's plan for him to die in that garden. But notice his brain was trying to convince him, hey, you're not even going to make it out of this garden. Has your brain ever tried to pull stuff like that with you? Oh, you're not going to make it. You're not going to be able to afford to, you know, pay the bills. You know, that thing the doctor talked to you about is going to be the end of you. All the things that your brain starts trying to tell you. See, the brain had Jesus dead in that garden before it was his time. You see that? We'll talk about it. Jesus says, my soul is so sorrowful and filled with depression, I feel like I could die. He says, wait here and pray with me. I think it is awesome that Jesus' response to that sorrow and depression was to get into prayer. Get into prayer. Amen. He's like, He's like, I'm not going to carry this. I've got to find some help from my father. In verse 39, it says, Jesus went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed saying, oh, my father, if it's possible, let this cup, a reference to the cross, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you, Father, will. Notice Jesus was tempted to have his own will. We think that it was just automatic that Jesus would just do the will of God. Oh, no, no. Jesus was all God, but he was all man at the same time. He was the Son of God, but he's also called the Son of Man. He had to partake in the full human experience. He had to know what it was like to have thoughts wrestle with him in his brain to try to pull him or to push him out of the will of God to do something that God didn't want him to do. But Jesus said, not as I will, but as you will, Father. And it says, then he came unto the disciples in verse 40. And he found them asleep. They were no help. And Jesus said to them, you know, he said to Peter, what, could you not watch or pray with me for 1 hour? He says in verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Wow. So within these few verses, Jesus talks about what was going on in his soul versus what was going on in his spirit versus what was going on in his flesh. This is the lesson of the spirit, the soul, and the flesh. This is the great example of what we do when your soul and your spirit and your flesh do not agree. Amen. Well, let's go back up there to verse 38. Let's get into this. Let's go right, actually drop down right to verse 39. Let's just get to the point. Actually, go back up to 38. I'm going to make sure not to be too pressured here today to get us out early. But as Jesus spoke and Jesus said something that was absolutely true, this wasn't a bad confession of faith. He says, my soul. The word soul there in the Greek is the word psuche. It's where we get our English word psychology. It's talking about the mind of man. It's talking about that organ in between your ears, your brain, your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your intellect. Are we here today? All right. He says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful to the point where I feel like I'm going to die. All right. Jesus, you know, then in verse 39, we know what he does. He goes a little bit further. He falls on his face and he says, Father, if it be possible, let the cross pass from me. I don't want to do this. Isn't that interesting? Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. Jesus is the Word of God. He knew what was written about him. He knew it was God's plan. Before the earth was even created, Jesus was already scheduled to go to that cross. But yet his soul now was so overwhelmed with emotion that he began tempted to bypass God's plan, right? Oh boy, here we can say this. Notice this, the soul, even Jesus's soul, even his mind, even his feelings and his emotions, the soul is the realm of emotion and self-preservation. Get a hold of this. Your mind is the realm of emotions and self-preservation. Notice this, the soul only wants to save itself. The soul can only dwell on the problems that it's facing. Do you see that? All the soul could think about was discomfort. All it could think about is inconvenience. All it could think about is pain or hardship. Are you here? Because that soul, even of Jesus, was no doubt picking up, you know, the impulses of the flesh that are saying, I don't want to be nailed to a cross. And of course, we can understand that. We can understand that. But aren't you glad that Jesus didn't listen to his soul? Yeah. Because the soul is the realm of emotion and self-preservation. All right. Notice his soul needed self-control. You see what I'm saying? He needed self-control to do God's will. But notice the mind wasn't able to provide it. There was no self-control. The mind wasn't telling Jesus, you know what, go to that cross. You know, do God's will. Who cares how much it's going to hurt? See, notice this. The soul is incapable of sacrifice. Your mind only wants what's best for itself. It wants to feel better. It wants more money. It wants, you know, a comfort and ease. Your soul says, don't give anything up. You know, don't go through anything hard. Don't go through the wilderness. Are you here? Folks, I'm here to tell you that the greatest challenge in your life will not be to overcome the devil. The greatest challenge in your life is going to be to overcome those emotions that are absolutely bombarding you every single day. Our society is bombarding our thought life, saturating us in the spirit of self-preservation. Remember what it says about the end days over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, right around the third verse? It says, for when they say peace and safety, remember that? When the world starts crying out peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes. Because what the Bible's talking about in the end days, people will give in to the spirit of self-preservation. That the mind of man is so selfish. It does not sacrifice for anybody. It does not give up for anybody. Are you here? See, Jesus had to face this because it was the human experience that we all go through. See, there was a storm in Jesus's brain. It was the realm of emotion and self-preservation. It refused all discomfort and it resisted sacrifice. It could only think of the problems it had to face. Now, down there in verse 39, we drop down there and it says, Jesus went a little further. He fell on his face and he prayed, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Notice the emotions of the soul pushed all thoughts of obeying God out. See how these emotions work? Folks, I'm here to tell you, a lot of times marriages suffer when people are just giving into their emotions all the time, losing control of their temper, you know, losing control of, you know, their attitudes. Are you here? Losing control of emotions, you know, always giving in to feelings and, you know, big reactions, harsh reactions to what people say and what they do. Be careful because emotions will try to fill your mind and push out any thought of obeying God. Do you see this? Does everyone see this? Boy, you don't want to live up here, do you? The soul can be overwhelmed. And so many people, they talk about, but I feel this way. I feel this way. Well, God knows you feel that way. Those emotions are real. They are there. They are something. We're not denying that they exist. But you don't want to live by them. Oh boy, praise the Lord. Are you here? The soul of Jesus in verse 39. All that emotion pushed all thought of God's plan out of the thoughts of Jesus. And Jesus starts to do what all of us have done before. He starts to pray for what he wants. Oh, are you here? Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That's what this wanted. That's what the soul wanted. Oh my goodness. Emotions tell you get what you want at all costs, even if you have to beg God for it. Oh my goodness, Pastor, you make it sound like, you know, it's wrong for having thoughts. It's not wrong. How many of you have thoughts, you just can't stop them? Jesus could not stop these thoughts from coming to him. But it's what you do with them from there. It's where are you making your decisions from? If he made a decision out of his mind, we're all lost. Do you see this? Praise the Lord. But all of a sudden, something stepped in. All of a sudden, Jesus switched out of his mind. And then all of a sudden, we hear these words, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Now something jumps in to interrupt what his soul is doing. And he says, nevertheless, not as I will. He realized something switched over where he realized, I'm just asking what I want. And Father, now I humble myself. Something switched over. Father, I don't want what I want. I pray that your will be done. At that moment, you're going to see, Jesus explains in the rest of this passage, he's switching out of his soul and switches down into his spirit. And he said, the spirit is willing. And all of a sudden, when he listened in here, and as he fellowshiped with God, amen, he got his answer in what God wanted him to do. And it was completely opposite of what everything in his brain was telling him. What are you going to do when the spirit and soul disagree? See, you're going to have to listen to your spirit. You're going to have to know how to hear God's voice on the inside. Amen. Praise the Lord. He prays for God's will. Because Jesus, just like you and I, was tempted with his own will. The greatest temptations we face in this life come from what we want. Are you here? Say, Pastor, what are you talking about here? You're going to see how we contend with this. Go down to verse 40. And it says, Jesus came to his disciples and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, what, could you not pray with me for an hour? Jesus was in the biggest trial of his life. This was the hardest moment of his human life. And now his three top apostles could not and would not pray because they gave into their flesh. And then Jesus says something very interesting in verse 41. Jesus says, watch and pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Isn't that interesting? Because that's exactly what Jesus was doing there. Jesus, he is basically saying to his disciples, pray and fellowship with God so you don't give in to your own will. You're going to have to pray and fellowship and get into the presence of God to make sure you are not giving in to your own will. Do you see that? That's what Jesus was just doing before he got up and went over and talked to them. Jesus said, my soul wants to go a different direction. My soul is filled with depression and sorrow. And so Jesus had the smarts that the first thing you do when you are under that kind of pressure is to get into the presence of God, start praying, start submitting your will before God to make sure that your will does not win the day. Because if his flesh and his mind would have won the day, we all would have been lost. Yes, absolutely. Amen. Pray in fellowship with God so you don't give into the temptation to your own thoughts. So you don't give into the temptation of your own will. Folks, if we're not careful, many, if not most Christians are living out of their own will, their own mind. Folks, there's a storm up here. The mind is filled with emotion. You can't trust it. You can't trust feelings of depression. You can't trust just feelings of gladness either. You cannot just look at what when something feels good or when something feels ungood. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. So now in verse 41, Jesus says, watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. The spirit is indeed willing. Notice it's the lowercase s. Notice it's not the Holy Spirit, it's the spirit of man. Jesus was the Son of Man praying this prayer to the Father. He says, the spirit is willing. And if we are born again, How many of you are born again and you know it, right? Then that means you have an unction from the Holy One. You have the presence of God. You have the anointing of God in your spirit, according to 1 John 2:20 and verse 27. It says that anointing shall abide in you, and it teaches you all things, teaches you which way to go. And so in Jesus' spirit, he was completely willing. Hallelujah. Notice, how did Jesus overcome this depression? He got down into his spirit. His spirit wasn't depressed. Amen. His spirit wasn't sorrowful. He said, my soul is sorrowful, but I don't have to live out of that thing. My spirit is not afraid. My spirit isn't selfish. My spirit is willing to sacrifice. My spirit is willing to communicate with God. My spirit is willing to give to God. My spirit is willing to obey God. And my spirit is where all self-control comes from. Jesus had to control himself to make sure he didn't do what he wanted to do. Self-control is not of your mind. Of course, you got to renew your mind with the word of God. And yes, when you hear God's voice in your spirit should, you know, take control or enlighten your mind, so to speak. You should force your brain to go the will of God, the way of God. But Jesus said, my spirit is indeed willing. Are you here? So then he says the flesh is weak because the flesh will always just side with the mind. The flesh just wants to do whatever the brain wants to do. It's selfish. It does not give. It does not sacrifice. It doesn't want discomfort. It just wants ease. And so now we have the lesson of the spirit, the soul, and the body. From Jesus, we are told the soul is filled with emotion. Don't listen to it. The flesh is weak and just will side with your brain. But the spirit is willing. And if the spirit is willing, see, Jesus had the peace of God in his spirit. See, the Bible tells us over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See, there wasn't joy up in his soul. The joy wasn't in his flesh. The joy was in his spirit. Amen. And when the soul got so depressed, it made Jesus feel like he was going to die. He went and got into fellowship with his Father, clicked out of his brain, got down in the Spirit of God, and he became willing. He became unafraid. He became sacrificial. He became obedient. Are you here? I'll tell you what, you can't trust that brain. It tries to get you depressed. That brain had Jesus convinced he was dying in the garden when he was supposed to die on the cross. You see what I mean? What are you going to do when the brain just convinces you you're going to die young, or something bad's going to happen to your child, or you're not going to have enough, or you should be sad and miserable and look at the circumstances and all this stuff? You can't listen to that soul. Folks, I'm telling you, we need to be spiritual people that live out of this. Of course, you got to make just natural decisions every day with your brain. You got to get up and go to work. Someone's got to take out the garbage. Someone's got to write a check and pay the power company. You know what I mean? Someone's got to pay the rent or pay the mortgage. You don't understand. You know, we're not talking about just being, you know, ooky and weird. You know, we're not trying to be like so hyper spiritual that we're living in the clouds already. That's called being so spiritual you're no earthly good. We're talking about being normal, but we're just listening down here. We're not so moved by what goes on up here. Oh my goodness. Are you here today? The Spirit is willing. Glory to God. We know he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always willing. Okay, meaning the Holy Spirit has no choice but to obey God. So he's talking about his Spirit. Amen. And he became willing. Praise the Lord. Think about this. Jesus lived the perfect example of what to do to find God on the other side of a hard decision. This is how you find God on the other side of a hard decision. You get into his presence. You make sure that you're following his will. Think about this. Yes. Jesus showed us how to set aside the emotions and not be led by sorrow or offense. No, Jesus at this moment in the garden had the biggest opportunity to be offended more than anyone that has ever walked this earth. Because his soul and his flesh was crying out not to go to that cross, because the soul and the flesh were telling him, you don't deserve this.
Yeah, right.
And you know what? That was technically true. Yeah. Jesus could have been offended and say, Father God, this is not fair. These are not my sins. I am spotless. I am perfect before you. I have walked in your ways. Jesus could have cried out for justice. He could have. He could have said, this isn't justice. He could have tried to appeal to God that way out of offense, but he didn't do it. Why? Because you're not offended in your spirit. You're offended up here. You're not angry in your spirit. You're angry up here. You're not mad down in your spirit. You're mad up here. You're not disgruntled down here, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. The flesh is willing, meaning down here is the ability to overcome every temptation. Hallelujah. But we've got to make our spirit preeminent. We've got to make sure that it rules over our mind and our body. Amen. Jesus could just say, God, this isn't fair. And he would have been right. Praise the Lord. And so we could say it this way. The born again spirit of man. The born again spirit of man as demonstrated through Jesus's life, because he was the firstborn of God. Remember that? He's called the firstborn of God, in that he led many sons to glory. How many sons of glory do we got here today? Women included. He's talking about us. We are alive from the dead through Christ. Amen. And it says that, you know, God lived on the inside of Christ. Jesus said that over and over. So this pertains to us as well. Amen. You could say it this way. The born again spirit of man, it is the realm of communication with God. It's the realm of communication with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Think about this. It is the realm of willingness.
Sure.
Your spirit is the realm of communication. It is the realm of willingness. Notice this. It's also the realm of sacrifice. Your spirit is willing to give up anything that it takes to serve God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. See, in the spirit of Christ, he said, I'm willing to be sacrificed. I'm willing to give it to save others. But see, that pesky soul just wants to save itself.
Sure, right.
Can't trust it. Can't trust it. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the realm of communication. It is the realm of willingness. It is the realm of sacrifice. And it is the realm of self-control.
Right.
We're only going to be able to control ourselves, you know, literally to go the way of God, to do these things that please God, if we're willing to listen and hear. Your conscience will stop you. It's what broke my alcohol addiction. Glory to God. It's what broke my profanity addiction. It's what breaks pornography addictions. It's what breaks, you know, any kind of vice. It breaks every form of temptation. Are you here? Hallelujah. Living in your conscience, where if you're, you know, walking with God and fellowshipping with God, all of a sudden you'll come up to decisions in life and you'll just know the inner witness. You know, there came a time when my conscience was so bothered with alcohol, it was better to live without it. You know, there came a time when my conscience was so, you know, bothered with, you name it. You know, whether it was as a young man, pornography, or, you know, addictions to cigarettes, or, you know, profane ways of speaking, wrong forms of entertainment, my conscience became alive with the life of God, and there just became decisions. I just couldn't make this anymore. And then it started to, you know, lead me in terms of what I should do for a living and where God wanted me on this earth and what he wanted me to do and the call on my life. There was a lot of things I wanted to do, but my conscience wouldn't let me.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew that I would be miserable doing any of those other things than just obeying God and being the pastor that he called me to be. Are you here today? Oh my goodness, your conscience, it will guide the way you talk to your spouse. All of a sudden, your conscience will be bothered by the way maybe you spoke sharply or harshly. Or maybe you're using language in the home that's disrupting the whole family. Or maybe you're losing your temper and your anger, you know, and you're flipping out and slamming doors and all that. All of a sudden, you do that, and your conscience says, no. No, don't do that. See, that's the voice of God. The Bible says the love of God or the love for God restrains us. Are you here? Go to Romans chapter 8. Praise God. And now we're going to have to just get ready to wrap this right up. Even though I can see right through the back doors, the sun has come out. I think it's about 70 degrees out there now. Wow, the snow is all gone. Praise the Lord. We can stay all day. Glory to God. Turn on the AC. Go to Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. We're going to visit some verses here real quick that we've been in maybe over the last few weeks. And we're going to look at it again. And I have so much more for you that we're not going to be able to get to today. But that's what next week is for. This is kind of just a primer. I want you to get hungry to develop the what the Bible calls the hidden man of the heart, the inward man. And we're going to look at some verses real quickly. Look at Romans 8 and go down there to go right to 15. We're just going to get right to it. Romans 8, 15. Remember this verse? We've been looking about, look at this verse and what it's talking about our spirit. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Notice in your spirit, there's no fear. See, if you grew up in the 90s like I did, you could go get a no fear sticker. All right, it is Confession Sunday. Who in here had a no fear sticker on their vehicle back in the 90s? Is there anybody? Anybody? Oh, we got you guys. There we go. Praise the Lord. How many of you remember that fad? All right. Well, praise God. It's just making me look old, Pastor Brad. It's just dating me. I don't know. The 80s and 90s feel like yesterday to me. They do. That's what I grew up. Praise the Lord. But notice in your spirit, there's no fear anymore. There's no fear of dying in your spirit. There's no fear of not having enough. There's no fear of sickness. There's no fear of loss. See, we got to remember, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's the old way before Christ came to live and redeem you in your heart. In your spirit. Amen. You've not received that bondage to fear. You don't have to be afraid. Notice, that's what that flesh and that mind was trying to do with Jesus. He tried, the soul and the mind tried to make Jesus afraid to go to that cross. And let's be honest, it was understandable. Again, Jesus was all human, but notice he wasn't only human. He had a supernatural ability to get into the spirit, just like you and I have through him. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I'm not in bondage to anything. It says, but now you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father. Isn't that awesome? Your spirit cries out to know your heavenly Father, to please your heavenly Father, to obey your heavenly Father. You're not afraid anymore because you have a Father. Amen. This is saying that now you've received the spirit of adoption. You are no longer an orphan, and you are no longer ever to be alone ever again. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But think of this. We have received the spirit of adoption. Our spirit cries, Father, Father. That means our spirit has and knows some things because now we've been adopted by this heavenly Father. Hallelujah. The depths of our spirit. Your spirit knows. See, an adopted child is a rescued child. In some form or another, adoption is a form of rescue. And in your spirit, you cry out, my Father who rescued me. My Father who rescued me. See, in the depths of your spirit, you know the depth of your rescue. And an adopted child should be a grateful child. See, that's why it says, Father, 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 you rescued me. Father, I am forever grateful for this rescue. Father, you rescued me from my sins. You rescued me from hell in the grave. Lord, you rescued me from eternal punishment. You rescued me. Amen. If we didn't know the depth of our spirit, who wants to cry out to our Father, our spirit knows who our Father is. There's a connection there. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been rescued. And now know this, an adopted child should live a form of relief. Meaning we should know the relief that is in our spirit, the peace that comes from knowing my God is always with me. Yes. Hallelujah. My fear is over. Amen. My fear of hell is over. My fear of sickness and disease is over. Are you here? I have such relief knowing that I've got a provider. I've got a healer. I've got a protector. It is such a relief to know that no matter what happens on this earth, I've got the kind of life that you can't kill. You can't kill the kind of life. Abba, Father. Glory to God. I'm relieved that I'm not going to hell. I'm relieved that my sadness is over. I'm relieved that I don't have to be in fear anymore. I'm relieved from depression. I'm relieved from destruction. I'm relieved that I have a heavenly family. I have a heavenly Father. And I'm relieved that I'll never be alone ever again. I'm relieved that I have an ultimate provider who, through the redemptive acts of Christ, has saved me, has healed me, has raised me with his power. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. An adopted child knows that they're no longer an orphan and they're no longer alone. Glory to God. Now you're in Romans 8. Drop back one chapter. Go to Romans 7 and go to verse 21. And we're going to have to end it right here. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? What's in the depths of your spirit? Look at this. He says, Paul, the apostle writing this, he says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is ever present with me. Have you realized that? What Paul's talking about here is the constant battle of good and evil contained in the human being. Even the born again believer. How many of you just want to do good with all your heart? You know, you just want to obey God. But yet in the flesh always wants to do evil. In the mind, it'll suggest evil things, right? And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, I find the law or the word of God, and I'm, you know, happy about that, and I'm wanting to do that, but my mind and my flesh, that evil nature is constantly trying to fight me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Paul goes on to say in this passage, he says, oh, what a wretched man I am. Remember when he said that? He's talking about, man, I don't do the things that I should. And I do the things that I should not. He says, I want to do the right things all the time, but every once in a while, this pressure or this, you know, temptation to do the wrong thing is always there with me. How many of you know that? But look at verse 22. He says something really amazing here, and we're going to end right here. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight after the word of God or the law of God or the ways of God, after or according to the inward man. The inward man is a reference to what? Your spirit. This is what God wants us to develop, our inward man. And I have so many more scriptures that I'm not going to be sharing with you today that talk about the inward man, and we're going to pick it up next week. Notice this, in your spirit is hungry for God's word. The word delight here in the Greek, it's the word rejoices after. My inward man rejoices after the word of God. My inward man is hungry for God's word. What if we started feeding it? What happens if you start feeding this inward man? The Bible says, and we're not going to get there today, it's actually in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, you can decorate or literally make your inward man beautiful before God. See, we're going to get to that. I was going to get to that today, but we're just not going to have time. The inward man is the real you. The inward man can see what the outward man cannot see. Glory to God. I delight. I rejoice after God's word and the inward man. Man, I should just give my spirit what it wants. But see, our society is just programming our brains just to feed our minds all the time, feed our bodies all the time. But my inward man rejoices at this. My inward man says, oh, I'm happy to be a tither. I'm happy to go to church. I'm happy to forgive. Are you here? We're going to have to rejoice by the inward man. And so today, we gave you the lesson of the spirit, soul, and the body. and we just started to wade into the waters of the depths of the human spirit. And we're going to pick it up next week. Amen. Did you get something out of this here today? Folks, again, when we dismiss here in just a few moments, we're going to be receiving the offering just at the exits of the sanctuary. Our ushers will be there. We're not going to send them to you. And so that's how we're going to receive the offering here today. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. We rejoice after you in the inward man. That's where Jesus rejoiced. Even when his soul was filled with depression, even when his flesh was weak, he got into his spirit. He found the joy that was set before him. He found the plan of God. He found the realm of communication with the Heavenly Father. He found the realm of willingness and obedience. He found the realm of sacrifice. He found the realm of self-control. Father, that's exactly what we need to do when we're faced with a massive decision or when our soul is trying to push against us. We fellowship with you and it becomes clear. Father, that's what we're looking for in this life. Clarity in our spirit. Deciding with all finality the direction to go. What we're faithful to. What is sacred in our lives. With all heads bowed, every eye closed, ask yourself this question down there in your conscience. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? If the answer to that question is no, or I don't know, then you need to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're here today and you're not saved or you're not sure if you're saved, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to bring you down front. Right there in your seat, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. Take that step of faith towards God. And when I see your hand in the air for 1 or 2 seconds, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? I know we're mostly a family group. I know we're missing so many folks and tough to have visitors with a big winter storm and all that. Anyone that you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? Father God, I don't see any hands. Father, I pray that if there's somebody within the sound of my voice that they've never made Jesus their Lord, they would not leave this earth until they do. Father, we're going to be spirit conscious. We're going to be led of the Holy Ghost. We're going to rejoice after the inward man. And Father, we give you the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and let's stand to our feet. Folks, you can just go ahead and give your offerings at the door. Be safe, be warm, praise God. Father, we just praise you today. We command your angels to go before us. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we say it all together. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name.